you in Wall Street.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of East to West with Nick and Rob. My name's Rob.
And my name is Nick. Hey, Rob, I loved you in Wall Street.
I loved you too, man.
We want to start the show today, before I ask you what we're talking about, with a very special shout-out to my buddy, producer Ryan from Talking Flick, talkingflick.com. Check out his podcast, Dragon Questicles, dragonquesticles.com. He did some very special artwork for you. What do you think about that artwork, Rob?
That artwork is the bomb.
Not bad, right?
Not bad at all.
Guy doesn't know nothing about movies, but the kid can draw. I'll give him that.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, that's true.
So look, if you need artwork or you want to say thank you for our unbelievable artwork that you can see on our podcast site, hit Mr. Ryan, producer Ryan, up on Twitter at Ryan_.com. That's RIAN_.com.
You know what, too? He's a loyal guy because every week I hear him say, I'm back.
Can't keep him down. To be fair, though, I've kept him down a few times.
Well, we won't talk about that on our podcast, but
what are we talking about today, Rob?
East to West with Nick and Rob, recast, reboot the movies.
East to West with Nick and Rob, recast, reboot your favorites. I think The Godfather. Do The Godfather.
Take the cannoli.
Yeah, leave the gun. Though. Just leave the gun. Leave it behind. Grab the cannolis because they're good. They taste good. The gun's a murder weapon.
I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
Motions here. Don't react so well. Double lunch.
Too many jokers.
Nick, today we're going to talk about a very, very, very special recast of the movie Clue.
You got to give the people what they want. I fought against this. I didn't want to do this movie. I don't think you should be touching this movie, but there are two factors here. Number one, a super fan, Queen of the White Walkers, asked us to do this. Number two, they're actually doing it. That's part of this thing. I guess it's Jason Bateman and Ryan Reynolds are throwing some money together and they're going to redo it anyway, so screw it. If Hollywood doesn't give a shit, we're going to go ahead and redo it then. Why not? Let's recast.
Haven't they been redoing their version for like 3 years now?
I don't know how long it's been in development. I have heard rumors over the years with different groups too, but this one I think is actually greenlit. There's money and they're going to start production at some point.
Wow. Well, I'm ready to start casting. How about you?
All right. I feel a little bit weird about this one because again, I just want to point out, I think it's 85 when the original came out. This is a beautiful film. It was co-written by John Landis, who I've always loved. I grew up watching his movies, and British director Jonathan Lynn, who did a couple movies, you know, that we love, My Cousin Vinny and Nuns on the Run. So, you know, it's got the chops. It's actually stands the test of time. I recently watched it, at least part of it again. I feel weird recasting it, but I would concede that, listen, based on what movies we got lately, it's not a fucking superhero movie. Maybe it's time we see another version of something like this. You really like Knives Out, Rob. Do you think Knives Out was sort of like a reboot in a weird way of this movie? It kind of had that same vibe.
I thought Knives Out was more or less without the three different endings at the end, but Knives Out was more of a sleuthy kind of picture that could be a Clue clone, but not exactly Clue itself.
I will say this, Rian Johnson took a shit on Star Wars with The Last Jedi, so I appreciate that he came back with a good whodunit movie.
Well, let's see what we have here.
Let's do it. All right, what do we start with now? I have 9 crucial parts. How many do you have?
I have 10.
Okay, all right. So you always have more than me. Typical Uncle Rob.
Because I have one more, because one more is better.
Gotcha,
it's like 11.
Gotcha. No Anna Kendrick. If you say Anna Kendrick, I'm shutting this microphone off.
She is not in this movie.
She's in mine. Spoiler. No, she's not. Oh, she might be.
So who do you have for your director first?
Okay, so this is tough. I think after seeing Knives Out, like I was very tempted to do Rian Johnson, but I went a different way. So now I want to pay homage to what they're already doing. We can't just not acknowledge that Bateman and Reynolds are working on this. I tell you what, you're a fan of Ozark. I'm a fan of Ozark. You know who my director is? It's fucking Jason Bateman. That's who my director is. I think he's going to mix the dark with the funny, and he's going to make it right. I trust Bateman with this material.
I have Bateman somewhere else in this.
Yeah, I put him on the list too, but I think he could direct.
My director, I'm going completely crazy here, and I'm not going for horror with this director. I'm just going because of his Pee-wee's Playhouse days. I'm going with Rob Zombie.
Wow, that is, Jesus. Did you see those Halloween remakes? They are rough. They're not bad. bad, but they're brutal.
Yeah, I think Halloween 42 is coming out soon, too.
Devil's Rejects. Yeah, yeah. That's a really gritty Clue movie we're making with Rob Zombie. But you know what? He could probably do it.
But I'm not making it gritty. Like I said, I'm going to bring him back to his Pee-wee's Playhouse days.
Right. So it's sort of this weird, creepy, dark comedy, Tim Burton-y type stuff, right?
Right.
All right,
right.
I'll buy that. You got Rob Zombie, and I got Jason Bateman. So let's go into the cast here, the bread and butter.
All righty. So let's start off with Wadsworth.
Yeah, that's a big one. I think we agree on this
earlier.
We might agree.
I let slip.
And you know what? You said it, and I could not back off after you said it. I kind of agree.
Wadsworth, for anybody who doesn't know, was the butler. We'll just leave it at he was the butler.
1 + 2 + 2 + 1.
Couldn't add for shit, but he was the butler. We both picked on this David Duchovny.
There is a dry sense of humor that he has done on, you know, Californication and parts of X-Files and certainly other movies like Evolution. And obviously on the Gary Shandling show, he is brilliant and he can pull this part off maybe like no other could, with the exception of Tim Curry, who obviously crushed it. There's no need to recast him. So if you can't do Tim Curry again, which would be amazing, I say David Duchovny, and I don't think it's that close. I really don't have any backups. It's Duchovny, and you just got to pay him the money.
Exactly. Give him the dollar bills, y'all.
Exactly. Boom. All right, so let me go next. Because of Duchovny, and I know this is going to get me in trouble, I start with the ladies here, and I'm going Mrs. White. Now, Madeline Kahn crushed this part in the original. Again, I don't want to recast anybody in that movie, but if you need me to pick somebody that can pull off the black hair, kind of the sultry nature, potentially killed all her husbands, that was sort of hinted at, I'm going to go with, listen, somebody who's got weird chemistry with David Duchovny. Her name is Gillian Anderson. She can get a short haircut, dye her hair jet black, and that's going to work perfectly. I'm a Gillian Anderson for this part. Mrs. White, fight me.
Well, you went for Gillian Anderson and trying to make this a weird kind of X-Filesy kind of
episode. I want them to fight. I know they hate each other, but I want them to work together and work it out. This is the only way they're going to work it out.
I went with someone who plays a great bitch. My Mrs. White is going to be Amanda Peet.
Oh, that's not bad. I kind of like that. All right. Smart. All right. I'm not going to fight you on that. It's a win-win either way for that part.
So we're going to keep it with the ladies. How about Mrs. Peacock?
Mrs. Peacock is a tough one. You go first on this. I had a hard time with this one.
Okay. Mrs. Peacock. And like I said, I am all for changing and flipping a script and putting different people in it. I cast a man in this part. No, I'm kidding.
And again, we were on the air for a great 7 weeks. It was a great run.
Peacock to me is going to be the one and only Regina King.
Oh, that's not bad. Wow, you did good there. I obviously can't argue. I had a really hard time with this and I had crossed a couple names off. Some of the names were Michelle Pfeiffer, but she did that Kenneth Branagh movie. And I wasn't sure that it was perfect for that particular role. So Angelina Jolie was on my list, but I was like, she's probably not going to be able to pull that off. It's too weird. And then Amy Adams was on the list too. I didn't feel great about any of them. So I'm going to lean toward your Regina King. And I think that's good casting. There's no part she can't do.
Exactly.
All right. So then we got to round it out here with Miss Scarlet, the sultry character of the group, I suppose.
Well, I was going to put Sherry Moon in this part because she's in every single one of Rob Zombie's movies.
I don't hate that. I actually don't hate it.
And I'm like, no. I need someone who's sexy as hell, could pull off the part of Miss Scarlet.
Leslie Ann Warren did not have the movie career she should have had, but she's incredible in that part. Great hair, by the way.
I picked Halle Berry for Miss Scarlet.
Well, that's not bad either. I kind of like that one. I went with Gal Gadot or Godot from Wonder Woman, but I kind of like yours better there too, actually. A little more age, a little more sophisticated Halle Berry now. I sort of dig it, and we don't get to see her be funny enough. So yeah, I sort of lean toward yours. I think you're crushing this. You're beating me this time.
Well, there is another woman.
There is, and this is a big one, and you're going to hate mine.
Yvette.
Yeah, the lovely Yvette. By the way, Colleen Camp, one of my crushes as a child, and just an amazing actor.
Well, you look at Yvette and you notice two things right away when you look at Yvette.
Legs? What's the other thing?
A little bit higher.
Yeah, I got it. I was trying to get you to say it.
All right, well, boobies. All right, anyway.
Amazing. Listen, the costumes in the original movie, I mean, impeccable.
They have to stay the same. Maybe. I don't know. Well, anyway, my Yvette is going to be Sofia Vergara.
Oh, yeah, I can't beat that. You probably nailed that one. I was going to go with someone much more bitchy in your terms. I was going to go with Amber Heard because I think we were going to flip the sort of mystery around and she was going to play a little bit more of a role. But I like yours better. Again, you're crushing me on the ladies this time. I'm not going to argue with that one. Modern Family comes to an end and this is a great part for her. Plus, she'd be really funny. The accent just works perfect.
That's what I pretty much went on because I watched the movie and I did watch it again recently. I couldn't understand half the things that Colleen Camp was saying.
So. Yeah. I wasn't listening anyway. All right, so let's move into the gentleman now. Let's start, and I'm gonna go backwards a little bit here. Let's start with sort of, I think, a crucial role. And again, if we're changing the script, it might be a little bit different, but a part that sort of needs sophistication a little bit and a presence. Let's start with Mr. Body.
Mr. Body. Okay. Mr. Body was kind of a prick.
He was. You didn't get to know him too well. Spoilers.
I'm going to go with the guy who can play a great prick, right? In this role, I put Vince Vaughn.
That's not bad. I don't hate it. I could see that. I think he would work well side by side with Bateman too, if we have Bateman in a role here. I went with Jeremy Irons because I was trying to bring, like, this guy is important. This guy has presence. And to pay a little homage to the British nature, obviously Jonathan Lynn, the original guy, was British, to give it a little bit of a British flair. But I also like Steve Coogan in the role too. It kind of to keep on that funny side. But I have him in another part, so I had to choose. So I went Jeremy Irons as Mr. Body. But I think either one of those works. Vince Vaughn, like, he's a little bit too bristled now. He got a little bit too weird. But I could see it. I wouldn't hate it if I saw him in part.
It's going to be a short part. He has to kind of lay there in a lump half the time anyway, so.
We could get the guy from Weekend at Bernie's, but either way.
There you go.
Either way. Him or Vince Vaughn, they're both going to play it the same way.
Okay, so you went with Mr. Body. Do you want to do the secondary characters, or you want to go to the meat and potatoes?
Meat and potatoes, baby.
All right. Colonel Mustard.
I nailed this one. You want me to go first? I'm going to go first because I want to influence you on this one. I went Idris Elba, and it's not close. I think he kills this part.
You know what? I'm not even going to tell you who I picked because that just tops it.
Right. It's right. He's just perfect for this part. And I want the glasses, and you also have to pull off that you were like sort of military-ish, but you also have to be goofy and get hit in the face by like an ironing board. So I just think like we don't get to see him funny, and I need more Idris Elba in my life. I think that's the perfect one.
That is perfect. I mean, I had Owen Wilson to play the part, but that,
you know what? It's funny you say that because I had Owen Wilson scratched off of like four parts. He ended up not making my movie, but it feels like an Owen Wilson type movie, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
Even him and his brother could have acted in this together.
They could have. Yeah. I'd almost rather have Luke and Owen making this movie than Bateman and Reynolds, but you know, it is what it is.
It is. So, Mr. Green.
I think I nailed this one too, but ultimately, okay, here's the thing, right? So we know there's a real movie being made and I can't bring myself to ignore it now that I know that fact, right? So if Ryan Reynolds is going to be in the movie, I put him as Mr. Green, but I had some other guys. Now, listen, the original Mr. Green, Michael McKean, obviously, what's it, David St. Hubbins from Spinal Tap? What's his name? That's an incredible performance. And he plays straight man. And now Hubbins is not straight man, but he plays straight man in this. And I think it's really cool. I don't want Ryan Reynolds. Sometimes he's obnoxious when he's talking too much, like me on East to West with Nick and Rob. feedback fans, appreciate that. I think you make him straight man and it kind of reverses it a little bit. I think he works if you're going to cast him. But I also had some other names like Chiwetel, Ejiofor, and Steve Coogan, as I mentioned before. So, but I'm okay with Reynolds in that part.
Well, I went with the other guy involved in the movie in this part, Jason Bateman.
We swap there. We swap. I on the next part, I go Bateman. Either way, though, I prefer, listen, again, I get a little bit annoyed by Reynolds, so I prefer him to play straight man every once in a while. I think this is a good opportunity in an ensemble for him to play straight man. Like Chris Evans did kind of in Knives Out. He sort of plays that weird conniving part there, not to give anything away. And I think Reynolds could thrive in a part like that.
You know, it's a tough one to pick. We're going with the guys that are making the new movie to play this one part.
Yeah, we're handicapped. I couldn't, once I knew they were in it, I was sort of handicapped. I had no choice. But listen, Steve Coogan is he would have been a great Mr. Green.
So we know that Michael McKean played this part originally. Okay. And
are we going to do practical question?
Yeah. he pretty much was pretending to be gay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who could pull that off better, Bateman or Reynolds?
I think it's Reynolds, not close.
Is it because he's this gorgeous piece of man meat?
I think it's because he's gay. I don't know. There's no reason to. He would appreciate that. Hugh Jackman told me he was gay. I mean, he verified. So it is what it is. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Is it because his face was sewn up in one of the original incarnations of
Deadpool, where they just killed him and he couldn't talk? Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. The original Wolverine movie, which is a hot topic on my other pod, TalkingFlick.com. But we won't cover that here. All right, we still got Professor Plum. Let's do Professor Plum.
Jeez, I completely forgot about Professor Plum.
He's an integral part of the movie here. Originally, that's Christopher Lloyd. I mean, Doc Brown, big part.
I have nobody. This is the only part I couldn't figure out who to put in there.
It's a weird part, right? And this, I think, because he's going to pull double duty. Bateman's going to direct. I have Bateman as Professor Plum because he can sort of lay in the background a little bit on this role. And I just think it fits for him. Now, again, I had Chiwetel and Steve Coogan sort of alternating in between if it wasn't going to be Bateman. But because we know he's involved potentially directing, we don't really know if he's not yet. I kind of like him in that role. I think that fits his skill set.
You know what? We're going with the guys that are producing and directing and writing and whatever they're doing with the new incarnation. So yeah, let's go with those guys that they have to be in our movie, and we're helping them build this cast.
You get this stuff for free. You're welcome, America. You're welcome, Jason Bateman. You know, listen, I can write the fourth season of Ozark. I got it.
So
I'm killing the brother. The brother's definitely dead. Spoiler.
You have one more part?
What's that?
Do you have one more part?
I have one more part. Yeah, I know you have more. So you roll out the rest.
Well, I got the cook.
Yeah. All right. I don't have the cook on my list, but I can see it. I have a thought, but yeah, go ahead.
The cook was played by an actress who used to be in the TV show MASH in the original movie. So the cook.
That's Kelly Nakahara. I forget her name, but yeah, she was definitely on MASH.
She was in like almost every single episode of MASH.
Yep, correct.
So the cook for our new recasted updated movie is going to be Patton Oswalt.
Oh, I was thinking Jonah Hill, but yours is better. I'll go Patton Oswalt. You got to have like an interesting look. You got to catch the eye, and you got to play straight face a little bit on that part. So I'm good with it.
And he voiced Ratatouille. So, you know,
shouts to him. By the way, I'll Be Gone in the Dark. If you haven't seen it, we don't do recommendations in this part of the pod, but he's so good in it and an emotional performance. I also love him in a movie called Young Adult, where he probably should have gotten nominated for an Oscar.
I love Patton Oswalt in a movie called Big Fan.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. I saw it. Yeah.
Big Fan is like one of the craziest.
Creepier than you think.
Ever. Sports radio, watch out.
Uncomfortable. It's another uncomfortable movie. He does uncomfortable well. All right, what else you got? What other parts you got?
The cop.
Yeah, the cop. The cop, I want to say is Bill Henderson, right? I think you just leave him. Let him do it because he crushed
it. No, not that cop.
Oh, not that one? Will Nye?
The ending. Howard Hessman.
Oh, yeah, Hessman. Okay, yeah. That one. Listen, head of the class. Oh, my God. I love that show.
So we have to have someone come in and do three different endings.
Technically, that's the chief. That's what it is. He comes in as the chief with the overcoat. Yeah. All right. Yeah. You know what? I give it to you. That's an important part. I think that we got to cover this one. I skipped this one.
See, I skipped Professor Plum.
He's like in the game. You can't just skip a character in the game.
Why not? That's how you win. So need someone that's going to play three different parts, pretty much. Well, three different scenes with three different whatever.
That's a good question. You brought this up before we finish here, Rob. Are we going to have those multiple endings? Because at the time, incredibly novel, obviously fits in with the board game. Do you think that's something we should replay? Because I kind of dig that. I would love to see that again. That is almost why I want the movie rebooted, you know?
I would love to see the three endings because it's funnier. You know, done perfectly in Wayne's World as well with the three different endings, you know? So it's the Scooby-Doo ending. We would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't a few meddling kids. So my cop, my chief, is going to be the one, the only, Jeremy Renner.
What? That's a laser beam from Mookie Betts in right field. I did not see that coming. Shit, I almost makes me want to throw up. I was going to go Hugh Grant. We are way off base on this one. You know what? Either movie I like, though. Jeremy Renner. Your chief's going to be super intense. Is it Jeremy Renner from The Town or Hawkeye? Which Jeremy Renner are we talking about here?
Jeremy Renner from Tag.
Oh, shit. All right. Yeah. Ed Helms. Ed Helms would be pretty good at that part, too. Listen, I would normally have said if you're going to do it and rest in peace, if he was still around, I would have said Alan Rickman in that part. Not close because his presence automatically means like, oh, this is a big deal when this guy shows up. But I kind of like the Renner one. I don't know. Hugh Grant, you could set him aside. Let's go Renner. I want to see what that pans out. out. I don't know that it works, but I want to see what happens.
I'm telling you, Rob Zombie's directing this crazy ass thing, so let's make it completely crazy, top to bottom.
Plus, real estate agent Jeremy Renner can find a perfect house for the movie, for the set.
Exactly.
Double duty. And he can make an album. He can do an album of covers.
Well, he changed the weapons, too.
All right, I got one more part. How many more parts do you got? Because I got one that's important to me.
I'm done with my parts.
You're done? I got Singing Telegram. Come on. Singing James Telegram, girl. This is a big one. That's a huge piece of that movie. I love that part. You shot the invisible man. So let me just give you what I have and give you a moment to think about it. The Singing Telegram girl, to me, yeah, again, a huge part of the movie is Jane Wheeldon or something like that. She'd been around, did some TV work back in the day. I thought you needed somebody that was recognizable. I don't know what'll happen in Jason Bateman's and Ryan Reynolds' movie, and I don't want to spoil the old one, but you know, it's an important part to me. I have Selena Gomez in that part, and I think she would crush it. Absolutely crush it.
Do you just want to see Selena Gomez get shot?
Oh, you spoiled it. Yes, I do. I love you like a love song.
All right. If I change it, I'll go with Miley Cyrus in that part.
Either way. So how about both of them? Two singing girls. Two singing telegrams.
By the way, Jane Wheeldon still looks the same to this day. I think she gets even more beautiful the older she gets.
I loved her. She's gorgeous. She was gorgeous in that part. Yeah, she's lovely. Lovely woman. The whole cast, I mean, you could bring them back. I'd love to see like a roundtable discussion. Let me ask you this question. It didn't work in the female reboot of the Ghostbusters movie. Could it work in this movie if you bring some of the actors back and they have like little baby cameos in the background? Would you want to see that?
I would love to see that. That would be perfect.
I think it would work. For a movie like this, I think it would.
They can come back as ghost incarnations.
We have ghosts. I remember when Dan Aykroyd showed up in the Casper movie in the late 90s, I think. I love that. I thought that was genius. If done well, I think that would be a cool idea.
You know what? Let's go with it. Let's green light it.
There it is. Another movie recasted, rebooted by East to West with Nick and Rob. You're welcome, America.
You are welcome.
Now, you know what it's time for, Rob. You've been dreading it all week. Are you ready for this? America's favorite segment ever for a podcast, I think. I mean, we haven't checked.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Nick asks Rob a fantasy football question. Hit the music. Now it's time for America's favorite segment. Nick asks Rob a fantasy football question. Devin Singletary.
Tom Brady.
TJ Houshmandzadeh.
Wahoo McDaniel.
Shane Falco.
Big Ernie Ladd.
Russell Wilson.
Johnny Hecker.
Paul Crewe or Enrico Palazzo.
Dick Butkus.
And here we go, baby. All right, Rob, you ready? Nick asks Rob a fantasy football question. Are you ready for the question? Do you need a beat?
Go ahead.
All right. 3-wide receiver, 10-team league. Okay. I want you to tell me which wide receiver you would draft first. You get the rules? The names are Julian Edelman. You've heard of him. Jarvis Landry. Jonathan Brown, speedster. Will Fuller, made of glass. No pressure, sir. All right, Rob, what is your answer, sir?
Jerry Rice.
That is incorrect. The correct answer was actually Homer Julian Edelman. Thanks for playing America's favorite segment, Nick Ask Rob, Fantasy Football.
What?
Wait, what? Moving on, sir. Moving on, Rob. We don't have time for that.
No. Fine.
We're gonna stop the presses.
Yeah, we'll stop them. We're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Anchor.
Several, you know, dozens of people spontaneously combust each year.
And we're back.
We're back, baby. What are we talking about next, Rob?
All right. I know you've been jonesing at this all week.
I'm fidgeting. I can't sit straight.
you want to be the sports guy from Anchorman right now. You want to tell us all about...
Good night, San Diego. Go fuck yourself. We'll mark explicit on this episode again.
Yeah.
Look, we got to talk about sports, and you know, I'm angry. I'm upset. I want to like these people. I want to root for them. I have his jersey in green. It hurts my soul. Where's the Blondie song? This guy's made of glass. He can't stay healthy. Somebody explain to me why Gordon Hayward is even an athlete.
Well, because he has that cool mustache. I don't know.
He got lost in his own museum. He can't stop stepping on his own foot and other people. people's foot. What's happening with this guy?
The guy plays hard, except that he shouldn't.
Yeah, it's almost right. Maybe don't play defense. Maybe see how that works. I don't know.
Right. I mean, come on. I told you about this. I said, hey, what's up?
Let me ask you this. I have to ask this question first because listen, it's east to west with Nick and Rob, right? I am west. I am level-headed. I make smoothies. Okay. Tell me what the vibe is in Boston. How upset are they that Gordon Haywood, A, gets paid as much as he does, and B, is never healthy?
You could take your kale smoothies and shove them up your ass. We're out here drinking blue ribbon. Pabst Blue Ribbon, future sponsor of East to West with Nick and Rob.
We'll take anybody. Hey, listen, Pabst from the draft ain't bad. I got news for you. If you get it on draft, it ain't bad.
It is. It's good beer. I mean, all right.
Are people flipping out about this, Rob? Is Boston sports media, is WEEI flipping out about Gordon Haywood, or they just accept it? Have they just accepted this now?
It's been one big giant across the radio SMH.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense to me. So obviously this took all the Stidham ankle injury stuff and put it on the back burner, right?
I don't know. I think the Stidham injury is a planned Belichick injury. But
we're not here to talk about the past. We're moving forward in New England. I saw that article too. All right, so let me ask you this. Let's go into it just very briefly. The Celtics are doing very well against the Sixers. They are playing right now. A little inside baseball on the pod. I like the way they look, and this would mean more minutes for Ojeleye. Obviously, more minutes for Marcus Smart. Does it hurt our chances in terms of getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, as we predicted on this pod, or potentially the Finals? Do you think it's a huge hit, or can we weather the storm?
I think we can weather the storm. I mean, that is a deep team, very deep team.
I agree. So, still great defensively. So Marcus Smart has to shoot a little bit more, but I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing.
You don't get points for breaking your ankle or spraining or whatever, so, you know.
Let me ask you this, because we could do a little bit of a basketball roundtable. We had some flirting with the Mavericks, playing pretty well against the Clippers. We had some Blazers. You know, Lillard, my favorite non-Celtic basketball player, Damian Lillard, had a nice couple games against the Lakers with the Trailblazers there. They won that first game. They lost the next two. Is that a series, or did the Lakers just need to be woken up a little bit?
I think the Lakers need a shock to their system. I mean,
they're not playing inspiring basketball. I've watched quite a bit of those games. It seems something is a little bit off there.
They're not playing like a team. They're playing like just a bunch of guys that go and look at the cardboard cutouts in the stands and try to get
the digital Paul Pierce is still asleep over there.
Yeah.
All right. So let me ask you this. Let's move on then. So moving into hockey, I was a little bit more concerned than you were, I think. The Tuukka on the Ritz episode, our most popular podcast ever. People loved it. You know, Halak has played well, and we handled the Hurricanes very, very well. I was hoping that we would get some reseeding love, but unfortunately now in the next round, we play the Lightning. How nervous are you now?
That's a tough team.
They're good. They're really good.
So
I would have preferred the Flyers. I think everybody in Boston would have.
Yeah, I prefer the Flyers. Well, we're playing Philly right now as the Celtics. So do we want the Bruins to play Philly as well also at the same time?
Fuck yeah. I mean, screw Philadelphia.
Interesting fact that
we could have came out dressed as Santa Claus, both teams.
Interesting fact, if this happens today, you know, it has to do with a broom.
Yeah,
it would only be the second time
jinx it.
Like 20 years that team has been broomed.
I'll spoil it and say I don't think it's going to happen. God, I hope it happens, but I don't think it's going to happen. There is a size problem there with the Celtics, but I also think with the Lightning and the Bruins, you know, look, you know, I love the team. You know, I love Bergeron, Krejci, Pastrnak, Marchand, Chara. This is a team that probably should have a couple cups in its cabinet case, and it's weird that they don't. Maybe it's the goaltender, maybe it's not, but I just think we got a bad rub here. The reseeding, we came out of the bubble cold. This is the price we pay. That Lightning series is going to be 6 or 7 games, and I'm not sure we're going to come out on top.
I'm just happy that Tuukka decided to opt out and go home and lay on his couch.
Tuukka on the Ritz.
Like we suggested. So
yeah. Thank you, Tuukka, for making the Bruins much more watchable. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right. So let's do a little bit of baseball. I don't want to go too long here. A little segment on stock up, stock down. You're the card collector. You are the known commodity here. You understand the numbers. I loved what I saw out of a guy, number one draft pick, Casey Mize, in the brief, not super spectacular, but the brief time we saw him on the mound. And I wanted your opinion on him. I wanted your opinion on stock up Fernando Tatis Jr., who is just destroying life and has a larger than life attitude and screw the unwritten rules of baseball. You know, tell me about the stock up guy.
Stock up. Fernando Tatis Jr., stock up on this guy.
Does he offend you? Does his antics offend you, or are you okay with it? Are you one of those guys?
He's bringing life to an otherwise somewhat boring game.
Yeah.
If a guy gets a pitch to hit on a 3-0 count, hit the freaking ball. Hit it.
I don't even know why there's a question. If the ball's down the middle and it's a hittable pitch, you swing the bat, you knock it out of the park. That's what you do. Baseball is so, it's annoying. It's killing itself, and it bothers me because it's still my favorite sport.
Do you know who else would do that if they get a 3-0 pitch down the middle of the plate? Big Poppy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
I was going to say Roy Hobbs, but either way.
My pick right now. Two guys. I have two guys that you need to stock up on and collect, whether it be Topps or Donruss. Donruss are the cards that don't have the team logos on them.
Yeah, but I'm okay with it.
Topps are the ones that are the official. Fernando Tatis Jr., try to get what you can from this guy, whether it be base rookies or whatever. If you get an autograph, you're golden. The next guy that I suggest that you get is out of the Seattle Mariners, Kyle Lewis. This kid's coming out of nowhere.
Interesting. Interesting player, yeah.
And I'll give you one pitcher. Rookie cards. Walker Buehler.
Yeah, you like him more than I do.
But he's going to be the future of your collecting finance. Who do you not want to collect right now? Came out as a hot prospect, Gavin Lux.
Yeah,
don't
Gavin
go for
Lux.
Gavin Lux.
Dansby Swanson's been making a nice comeback, but Lux so far not so great. I was going to say stock down on Strasburg, yet another season-ending injury. Not that this is a complete season. What's your overall take on Strasburg?
Collecting-wise, he was never really hot as far as...
Did he ever get... I thought he was like pretty valuable there for at least for a bit.
When he first came out, yeah, he was maybe for about a month or two. Other than that, he's not whatever, you know, spectacular. I mean, if you want to collect rookies of guys that are on that team, like Max Scherzer, I would say, yeah, go for his rookies. Yeah. But don't. Strasburgs are far and few between making any kind of movement in the market.
Well, there you have it. Stock up, stock down on the collecting side. Let me ask you another question, Rob. How guilty should Lourdes Gurriel Jr. feel for destroying Jose Alvarez's man region? Because I haven't seen a highlight that made me squirm like that in some time since like Jason Kendall broke his ankle on national TV.
I got one thing to say about that. Shot to the nuts and you're to blame. You just hit me in my leg.
Listen, he finished the play. The guy's a fucking hero, man. He finished the play. Good for him. Then he went right to the hospital. By the way, he's okay, folks. He's okay. He's going to be all right.
Yeah. Not a very good... Do they not wear cups anymore?
Listen, I'm going to tell you this. I was an awful baseball player as a kid, but I played Ryobin League back there in Nashua. And when I pitched or if I was throwing a lot, I did not like to wear the cup. I got to... Because you need that sort of mobility. But I learned the hard way. I think I was at first base and I learned the hard way. So, yep, you got to wear it all the time.
I mean, there are cups you can get that are actually comfortable. You know,
yeah, there's better ones now. You can have different levels of cup, right? If you're a catcher, you wear in the plastic. If you're somewhere else, you can wear like the sort of mesh with the jelly, you know?
Right. I mean, we're not asking you guys to go out there and wear a Gene Simmons codpiece, you know?
No, we are. We're asking that. America is asking.
We want the baseball teams to just put all the full makeup on and go around and potty every night and rock every day, you know?
No, we traded Brandon Workman. Do you have anything on the Brandon Workman trade? Because I like that deal. A couple righties, Pavetta and Seabold, not seafood. I thought that was, build up the arms. I think Pavetta, I always liked him at the Phillies. I think that he could do something either out of the bullpen or potentially a starter. Overall, I think smart by the Red Sox.
I'm kind of glad they're gone.
Yeah. I was never a Workman guy to begin with. He had good stuff. He started out as a starter. I would say that Matt Barnes promptly takes the closer role. We won three in a row going for four and said, let's stop this winning thing.
Yeah, he's kind of scary as the closer, but
he looks like a closer, but he doesn't necessarily throw like one.
He needs to be like that guy from the little big league, the blackout, whatever, you know, big old mustache, big old wad of whatever the hell, the sunflower seeds, tobacco, and gum in his mouth.
Hey, I was happy to see a 3-game winning streak. And by the way, Verdugo, come on, Rob, are you a fan yet? This guy Verdugo is fun to watch. Feisty.
I told you he was a hot prospect when he was with the Dodgers.
I like him. All right, so let's close up with football here, because we did the fantasy football question already. Football's moving forward. I guess some teams with fans, some teams without. We're not really sure yet. A decent amount of news, the big one being Earl Thomas. Does the Earl Thomas basically cutting or waiving him impact the Ravens? I had them as like a number one, number two defense in football. How big a loss is that for them?
Well, it's a big loss for them, but a great win for the UFC, as he has just joined the UFC with that Superman punch he threw at his teammate there.
He can fight Cormier now. Great. Another worthless fight for $100 on pay-per-view. Fantastic. What do you think? Are the Ravens the, like, I know the Chiefs are the returning favorite. You give them the respect being the number one seed. Are the Ravens number two? Are they the next biggest threat to the Chiefs?
I still don't see the Ravens as playing like a team. I'm sorry. I just don't.
You don't like LJax. And you're wrong about that. We've pointed this out.
I am not wrong about that. I am 99.9% sure correct in most of my predictions.
All right. Well, I've indulged you long enough on sports. I appreciate the segment. You got anything else? You want to close us out?
No, just watch the right cross if you're a D-back in the Ravens backfield. So.
LeBron James, not playing super, super well, but great hack game. Shouts. What are we talking about next, Rob?
You know what's great? Any time of day.
What's great, Rob?
A Bloody Mary.
There it is. Listen, I am a big Bloody Mary guy. You know this. I have them all the time. And when the world is normal and I'm at the sports book, either watching baseball, basketball, or football, I go early. I get a nice seat. And the first couple, two, three, sometimes four drinks are Bloody Mary. But there are, I have a strict set of rules with my Bloody Mary. How do they make your Bloody Mary?
Well, I prefer a Bloody Mary to be really spicy. The base itself has to be spicy.
Yeah.
And one of my good friends, Steve from Steve's Small Engine Repair, who's helped me out a lot with the lawnmower here.
Shouts, you know, sponsor.
Shouts.
No pressure, Steve.
He makes a great Bloody Mary, and he has this stuff that I can't remember the name of it. We'll have to have him send us the information on it so we can get it out.
East to West with Nick and Rob at gmail.com. And, you know, give us some spoilers on the recipe. We'd love to hear it.
I would too. But, you know, I like mine spicy. I know a lot of people like these newfangled Bloody Marys that are out there. They have like an entire seafood buffet in it. No, you know,
hate it. It's not a fucking cocktail hour. All right. It's not a fucking cocktail. Let's settle down with that.
Right. If I'm going to have a drink, I'm going to have a drink. I don't want to eat my drink.
Yeah. Good point. I'm with you. And by the way, like for me, okay, so the one caveat there, I'm a pretty classic Bloody Mary guy. I prefer the lemon, not the lime. I am Greek, as you know, lemons. And I prefer a lot of olives. I'm a heavy olive guy, but even though I would love to have a spicy Bloody Mary, it's got to be level for me because I got the acid reflux, right? So my basic rule of thumb here is in the very beginning of the morning when the first football game is on, I go spicy. And then as the day goes on, I increase the Worcestershire and I decrease the Tabasco and I kind of level it out. So that way I can sleep at night.
Oh, it's because you're probably, you know, your guys are losing points or whatever while you're watching football, and that's why you have to decrease the heat.
Each time I throw a loser ticket to the ground in anger, give me another olive.
I like mine classic too. I do like them with the heat. I can go heat all day. I'll even go as hot as a ghost pepper in it. But
yeah, you go ghost pepper is crazy. I've seen the jalapeno dropped in there. I don't love that either.
I like mine with a pickle spear.
Yeah, you go pickle spear. I don't understand that. I mean, the olive is standard. I like the olive when it's 1, 2, 3 on the little toothpick thing and they set it across the top. So I don't have to fish it out. I choose when to dip it and when to eat it.
Well, I like it in there because I like the brininess of the pickle.
And yeah, I can see that. And you can stir it, right? Use the pickle as a stir stick, exactly. Right? Yeah, that makes
and
sense.
I also like it with a stalk of celery in it.
I'm okay with the celery, but listen, do you agree that you can have olive and celery? Some people have a problem with that.
Well, here's the thing. You know why you want the celery? So you can scrape the side of the glass.
Yes, the briny stuff. Yeah, it's super important. And by the way, the celery is water-based, so it's almost like having an ice cube melt in the drink. I don't see what the problem is here. You can cut the celery to a thin portion, but I got to have a celery stick in there. I'm not pickle, I'm pro celery, but even both wouldn't bother me that much. Depends how big the glass is.
But for those people that go out and get the craziest things in a Bloody Mary, I mean, there are places in Vegas that have these crazy ass Bloody Mary. I mean, come on. There's one that's got
it's for the tourist, you know, come okay. on. It's got don't judge us just by what's on the strip. Take a stroll off the strip and you're gonna get yourself a good one, I promise you.
There's one that's got bacon in it,
yeah,
okay. Which is okay.
It's not awful.
And beef jerky. But it's also
That's unacceptable.
Come on. People put, they want a chicken wing on it and a shrimp.
Here's the thing, right? So we've all seen Cocktail, the bloody beer, right? I don't like to drop an egg in my bloody beer, but I like beer and tomato juice. The, what do they call that? Micheladas are very popular here now with the Clamata juice. This is easing into the day. When you have to go to the sports book and watch 8-10 hours of football, you need to ease into it. And the Bloody Mary is a breakfast. It's a drink. It also gets you a little tipsy. You know, choose wisely. I don't need a bunch of crap in there because I'm not trying to fill up on game one. I've got a three teamer and the third team plays the late game. I got to make it all the way through, baby.
Right. If you're going to go and sit at the sports book and have a Bloody Mary, order a breakfast with the first one, not in the first one, with it.
I agree. I'm with you on that, Rob. Hot take. You're learning stuff here on East to West with Nick and Rob.
Wow. What else? What else we got here, man? You got some shouts?
I do. I have some shouts. Once again, I want to thank producer Ryan from Talking Flick, talkingflick.com, and check out his Dragon Questicles, dragonquesticles.com podcast, the only real play role play podcast with balls. I do have one recommendation, and it's a weird one for me because we just finished Perry Mason on HBO. We're both HBO fans, and Lovecraft Country came out. The weird thing here is, like, I couldn't tell you if I love the show or don't. I really couldn't tell you exactly what it's about either. What I could tell you is it's expertly produced. It's made beautifully and shot beautifully, and you cannot take your eyes off of it. So I have no idea where it's going, but all I can tell you is I'm in, and maybe it's good. I don't know.
Well, I'm watching that show as well. I have not started watching it, though. Shows like that on HBO, I like to do my own personal binge, which is I do the first three episodes, and I watch them all together to see if they build the characters and everything. So that's what
you're more binger than I am. I will say, though, you haven't got to The Watchmen yet. I'm going to keep pressuring you until you finally watch that one. I'd like to know your take, because I watched it week to week, and there's so much variance between the episodes. I have a feeling Lovecraft Country is going to be somewhat similar, but I want to know what it feels like when you binge something like that, because it's got it brutal.
It's coming up. I have to set aside the time to watch. So I have a recommendation. Last week we did our cover songs, and we're getting a lot of requests to do another episode like that.
We love the feedback. Thank you for all the feedback. It was our most popular episode, East to West with Nick and Rob at gmail.com.
And you can hit us up on Twitter at Nick and Rob E, the number 2W. That's Nick and Rob E. 2W.
I'm not going to say it because it's hard to say.
Everything's hard for you to say. Well, anyway,
blooper reel, it's coming.
When I was looking at people that did songs and certain things, I found this guy, Teddy Swims.
He's great. You sent him to me. He's pretty freaking talented.
Go to YouTube, people. Type in Teddy Swims. T-E-D-D-Y Swims. Like the action in the water. Swims. Check this guy out. Listen to everything he has recorded. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and I listened to a little bit. I won't spoil it. There is something special in that guy's voice. With the right song, I think that guy could just knock it out of the park and be famous. On top of that, I will say special thanks to Freshly. This is my fourth time getting it. And I got to tell you, the fourth time was the charm. The Dijon pork chop, incredible. The zucchini pasta, surprisingly great. I'm digging the cauliflower mash. Freshly's won me over. So if you want to sponsor East to West with Nick and Rob, hit us up. I'm telling you, it's if you have not enough time to cook, fresh ingredients, easy to heat up, simple meals, low calorie. I love it. I can't get enough of it.
Folks, I can contest with this, that this is good looking stuff. When he sends me the pictures of his meals, try them. And with that, I'm going to say and bid you all adieu.
Don't forget, East to West with Nick and Rob at gmail.com. Talking Flick, talkingflick.com. We did Spotlight this week. It's a very emotional talkingflick.com.
Spotlight about what happens in Boston. With
it could have been you, Rob. It's a beautiful movie. Expertly done.
Have a great night, week, day, morning, afternoon. Afternoon delight, wherever you are. Peace.
Afternoon delight. Good night, San Diego.
I'm a fair guy, but this heat is making me absolutely crazy.
Oh, I think the Yankees suck.